Where are we at?
Ephesians 4, verse 8 now.
Therefore it said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to them.
Huh? Call on somebody.
Who else thinks about
what?
He uses a different version than the
Alright, we're on verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?
He that ascended is the same also that ascended above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Yep.
And he gave some of the apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
His dad.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
One more.
Eli.
He said, so we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of stature and fullness of Christ.
Okay, so last week we didn't have class, but 2 weeks ago we were in Ephesians 4. We went 1 through 6, and we wrapped up with talking about all the ones. There's 7 different ones from verse 4 to 6. One body, one spirit. One hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. Okay, so he starts off the chapter and he's talking about how we are all together, right? There's one body of Christ, right? There's one God. There's one, all of these different things, and how we are united in the body of Christ. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you join the family of God, and we are all unified together. We have a common Father, Heavenly Father. We have a common goal and all of these things. So we're all unified together. And then he starts off verse 7 by saying, but. So we are all unified, but unto every one of us. So now he's switching to focusing on the individual aspect of it. So yes, all of you that have accepted Christ as your Savior are all part of the body of Christ. We're all united together as one, but each one of us individually still has responsibilities and a mission and a calling from God and all of those things. So, like, we individually have to fulfill our responsibilities in the body of Christ. And then collectively, as a body of Christ, we also need to do things like sharing the gospel and all that. But it goes all the way down to us as individuals, not just us collectively. So, while, as a church, as Heartland Baptist Fellowship, has a responsibility to reach our community, right, and to reach the world through missions and things like that, we as a church have that duty. But each person individually has to be the one to take the gospel to their neighbors and their coworkers and their people at school and all of those things. Like, we still all individually have jobs to do. So Paul's telling them, we're all united, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then he goes on to talk about that a little bit. So that gift is the Holy Spirit, right? That gift is salvation. And so he's given all of us the gift of salvation through grace. And while we find our identity in Christ, once we're saved, we find our identity in Christ, we all have a responsibility and a job to do within the body of Christ. And so he goes on then in verse 8, and he says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. You guys ever heard that phrase, led captivity captive? It's kind of weird if you think about it. Like, you take some, I mean, what does that mean? Captivity, leading captivity captive.
Right? Freedom.
Freedom's not in there. You're leading captivity captive. Like, you hear it as leading captivity free, and kind of in a way that is what it is, but.
Kind
of, yeah.
I did not listen to that.
Well, so he is Jesus. Jesus led captivity captive. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, he led captivity captive. So yeah, in a way, I forget which one of you I said it now, but Lincoln's, yeah. So people were captive, and we're going to talk about those people in a minute, in Abraham's bosom, and Jesus Christ led the people who were captive. They were stuck there, essentially, and he led them captive in a way, like, he freed them from that. But now we have, like, now he's led them into captivity in Christ, which is not really captivity, it's freedom. But that phrase is just a little bit weird, because we always hear it, and it actually does mean leading captivity free. But when you actually, like, think about, how are you leading captivity captive? You know, the people that were in captivity, now they're still captive, like, but we're captive in Christ now. And so he leads these people free, which we're going to look at real quick here. Turn over to, hold your place here because we'll come back, but turn over to John chapter 20. And while you guys are turning, I'll be a little bit upfront with you guys on this passage that we're talking about. It's, we're going to go a little bit deep here for a minute, and then we'll come back out and we'll make it more practical. So if you get a little bit lost in what I'm getting ready to say, that's okay. But this ascending and descending, I want to spend like 6 or 7 minutes on it. So just focus, pay attention. John 20. If you don't quite follow exactly what I'm saying, that's okay.
From a fleet, if you can slip to the left.
Yep.
Which way to the left?
Towards the front.
I do that, but I can't figure out which one's L.
All right. John 20, verse 15 says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, let's turn my page. Touch me not, John 20, verse 17. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Okay, so Jesus just resurrected, right? Mary comes looking for him, and he tells her, don't touch me, because I've not yet ascended to my Father. Okay, so back in Ephesians, when we're talking about ascending and descending and all that stuff, okay, Jesus Christ is getting ready to, in this verse, ascend into heaven, and he's going to present himself, the offering, for the sins of man before God the Father. So he tells Mary, don't touch me yet, I haven't ascended, and I haven't presented myself as that perfect sacrifice to God the Father, okay? No, he says that to Mary.
It's kind of
red. Yeah. Okay, and then turn to Matthew chapter 12. No, we're not going back there.
Were you? I'm having a moment right now. Were you? You were touched on this verse last week, didn't you? That one you just read.
Mary. Oh, I think so.
Now I'm having a deja vu moment, like.
I mean, I can go back and look back. I don't think so.
Matthew 12?
Matthew 12, yeah.
It's kind of a right. Did somebody say that? Matthew 12 what?
40.
Sorry.
No, just...
Do you think Jesus still has the holes, like, in his hands inside of him, or is he complete again?
It's a good question. He definitely had them
at
one point. After he ascended, and descended, he still had them. All right, Matthew 12, verse 40. Somebody read that.
Oh, shoot. For out of Jonah was 3 days and 3 days in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 days
in the Okay, so Jesus himself says that he is going to the heart of the earth, right? As Jonah was 3 days in the whale's belly, so shall I, Jesus, not me, Jesus, but him, Jesus, shall spend 3 days in the midst of the earth, okay? Or in the heart of the earth, he says. turn to Luke chapter 16. You don't have to save your place there.
Where?
It's good practice for you. It's good practice.
Go to the right. Just like a couple chapters.
I know where they are. It just takes me forever to get there.
16?
Yep.
16.
19. All right. I'll tell you in a little bit. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Shh. If you're not there, listen. Nope. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I'm not going to read the last few verses. But here we get a picture painted for us of in the midst of the earth where hell is, right? There being two different components or two different sides of hell. Okay, on one side you have Abraham and Lazarus and other saints from the Old Testament. Okay, and when people in the Old Testament died, they did not have the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. They did not have salvation or eternal life in the way that we have it, because when we get saved, we're putting our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, right? His grace, our faith, and we get saved. And God seals our soul. And so we have, we're seated in heavenly places. It tells us in Ephesians. But in the Old Testament, when they followed the law and they, did the sacrifices and they did all of those things to have a relationship with God, when they died, they did not go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. Okay, Abraham's there and many others. Okay, and so when Jesus is talking about he's going to spend 3 days in the center of the earth, this is what he's talking about. And when we're talking about leading captivity captive, these are the captives that are captive, and they're in Abraham's bosom. Okay, they were, at least at this time, when Luke chapter 16 is being written. Okay, or not when it's being written, but as we're reading it, these guys were in Abraham's bosom, and they were captive there. Right? Abraham even tells the rich man across, they can communicate back and forth. And he says, hey, even if we wanted to, we can't. But even if we wanted to, there's a great gulf between us. Like, we can't go to you and you can't come to us. Right? We're captive in this place, but like, we can't leave. We can't go to where you are and we can't go anywhere else. And so when Jesus Christ goes and leads captivity captive, this is what he's talking about. He goes to Abraham's bosom and he frees them that have been, there since they died all the way up until the time that Jesus comes and frees them. So today, like in 2026, Abraham's bosom doesn't have anybody in it. Okay. It's just hell in the middle of the earth. There is no Abraham's bosom there anymore. Or if there is, there's no people in it at least, or souls. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And I know this is like a lot. If you haven't heard this before, you're like, this sounds crazy. What are you talking about? I mean, it is a little bit weird. And if you're somewhat familiar with these ideas, maybe you've heard something like this before. I apologize for going fast, but yeah, we'll get to some application stuff here at the end. So, I guess I should turn there too. Colossians chapter 2. It's on the board, 15.
Colossians chapter 2.
Oh, yep, somebody read that one.
Wait, hold up.
No.
Wait,
no. It happened before.
Oh, there's
Howard.
Shh, Jackson's.
He made us triumphant
over them. Okay, so he's talking about Jesus Christ here, and I thought this was the verse that it said. He talked about paradise, but Jesus goes to Abraham's bosom. It's also referred to as paradise. I thought that was this verse, but that's actually 2 Corinthians 12:4. If you're taking notes. 2 Corinthians 12:4, we won't go there, but that's a reference to paradise. So paradise is Abraham's bosom. just for short Cliff Notes version. And Jesus Christ goes there, and Paul is talking about that here in Colossians, and he's saying that he spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So if you remember passages about how Jesus Christ triumphed over death and things like that, okay, this is how Jesus triumphed over death. Yes, he himself died and rose from the dead, and in that way he triumphed over death. But when he went into Abraham's bosom, and he goes down and he frees those that have been captive since the Old Testament, he's defeated death. And so, like when Jesus was on the cross, that phrase that he said, "It is finished," right before he died, right? Okay, he at that time when he died, he's saying, "It is finished." The work that he was sent to do on the earth was finished. But go back to Ephesians chapter 4 now. So this ascending and descending and all of this, it's important to understand it. It's not vital to like your daily life, but it is important that we understand what Jesus Christ did for us. But if you read this passage and you're reading along in verse 8, and it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." If you just read that, and then the next two verses are in parentheses, right? So this is like kind of a separate, or gives you context to what he's talking about. But if you just skip those two verses, I'm not suggesting that those verses shouldn't be there or that you should skip them. But if you just skip those verses, it goes right from him giving gifts unto men, and it goes into, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And so you could, if you read this passage and you skip those two verses, the passage ties together really nicely without this. But Paul, for the sake of, if you remember, Paul's job when he's writing these books or he's writing these letters to the church is he's expounding things to them that they have never heard before. Okay. This may be news to you. Maybe you've never heard this before, but when Paul's writing this, no one has ever said these things before. Okay? Jesus Christ did all of these things, and even his disciples and those that were familiar with what was happening didn't really fully understand all of the things that Jesus did. You know, when he has to tell Mary, "Don't touch me because I haven't ascended to my Father yet." Okay, Jesus knows what he has to do. He knows that he has to go before the Father and present the sacrifice of his blood for our sins, right? And then he has to go and he has to descend into the middle of the earth for 3 days, and he's down there preaching and expounding things to those in Abraham's bosom. Then he leads captivity captive. Okay? And so Paul is telling people things, telling the church at Ephesus things that people didn't know yet. Okay? And so he puts these parentheses in there, and he's like, hey, you know, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Also, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that is descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Talking some about prophecies of the Old Testament and things like that. He had to do all of these things. And so Paul's like trying to teach them, hey, Jesus did all of these things that maybe you're not even aware of. And yeah, it may not affect your daily walk, but there's some other things going on in the Bible. So what I want you guys to get from this, if you don't understand anything I've said for the last 7 to 10 minutes, and you're like, I've never heard any of this before, this sounds crazy. Okay, what you need to know about the Word of God is, no matter where you are, if you've never heard these things before, you've never been to church, you've never read the Bible, or you've been in church since before you can remember, okay, the Bible has something for all of us. You can read this passage and have no understanding of Abraham's bosom and paradise and captivity captive, I don't know what that's talking about. You can read this passage and you can still understand, oh, I have a job. I've been given grace and I've been given a gift. And then in verse 11, it says that Jesus gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Okay, well, I don't know what all those words mean maybe, but, you know, God gave us all of these people to fulfill certain responsibilities in the church. Okay, and why did he give them to us? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Okay, saints, that's saved people. Okay, so God gave and is actively giving people, or the church, people to preach the Word of God, right? We need pastors and teachers and people that can tell us what the Bible is saying sometimes. Like when there's hard to understand passages, we need to be able to know what it's talking about. And so he gave us that to perfect us. right? The act of being a Christian, you get saved immediately, right? As soon as you accept Christ into your heart to save you, that happens immediately. He saves you and seals your soul. But you're going to spend the rest of your life after that growing, hopefully, right? And becoming more perfect, perfecting the saints. And so it's a process of like, the more you learn and the more you apply, then the more you're like, oh, there's so much more I don't even know about what the Bible says. And so it's never ending. There's never an end to the things that we can learn about God's Word and the ways that we can apply them in our life. And so maybe you've heard some of these things before, but maybe you haven't gotten to the point of actually applying those things. Okay? That's how you start to get perfected. That's how you start to be more Christ-like, is you learn things, you hear things, you read things, you pray about those things, you know, think over them in your head, and you try to figure out what that means. You have a discipleship relationship with somebody that can open the Bible and you can ask those kinds of questions to, right? And if they don't know, then they can get somebody else to help you. Can we stop messing with that? I don't even know what's happening, but stop. Leave it alone. Leave it on the floor. Leave it on the floor. So the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, okay? There is so much work to be done in ministry. Okay, what does that even mean? That's kids ministry. That's this ministry, right? We have adults in here that help the work of the ministry. That's anything that we're doing that is either helping to get people saved, you know, going out sharing the gospel with people, you know, like the World Cup outreach that we're going to be doing soon, you know, going door to door and inviting people to events. Okay, those kinds of things, the work of the ministry. It can be teaching the Word of God in a Bible study or, you know, in a discipleship situation or teaching the Word of God in a classroom like this. There's all kinds of things that could be for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, edifying, what does that mean? What's the two-word definition for edify? Build up. Okay? Edify means to build up. Okay? Our job as Christians is to build people up, to build up the body of Christ. So the edifying of the body of Christ, that's one of the things that we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be an encouragement. You know, sometimes like when you come to church and you see a certain person and you're like, you just like feel like excited now because you see that person. Betty Arnie is one of those people. If you guys know Betty Arnie, you can't see Betty Arnie and not just like get a smile on your face. Right? She's just like this ray of light. There's other people like that in our church too, but for me, that's one of the people that like, when I see her, I just want to give her a hug and it's like, okay, you know, things have been, I had a hard day or whatever, but you know, she's an encouraging type of person. All right. Go back to verse 13. 801. Okay. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay. There is a day. Right? So he talked about unity at the beginning, and then for a few verses he breaks it down and says, yes, we're all unified, we're all one, but each of us has a specific responsibility. Here's something you need to know about Jesus, and he gives them this little nugget that you can study out and you can find out what he's talking about. But then he comes back and he tells them, you know, we all have these gifts, right? We all have different abilities. Each one of you guys has a different, like, skill or talent or physical ability or mental ability or whatever. You have a unique ability to reach certain people that other people in this room can't reach with the gospel. You have certain abilities and things that God wants to use in a way to reach people, to grow you closer to Him, all of those things. Like, we all have individual spiritual gifts, and God wants to use those things. Okay, and then he wraps it up by saying, hey, we all are individuals and we all have a job to do, but one day, till we all come to the unity of the faith, there's going to be a day where we're going to be united in heaven with Him, right? The rapture is coming soon, and one day we're going to be raptured out of here, and we will be unified again. And so he's saying, you know, do all of these things, the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, until we can't do those things anymore, right? Until we're unified together again in heaven. There's a lot of things I didn't say. If you guys have questions about some of that, you can ask. I'll try to do my best to answer them. Let's pray. And we'll wrap it up.